Good morning, Rabosai. So the shir this morning is on the topic of the status of Christianity in halacha and halacha lemaisa applications of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Bizman Hazeh. So there are a number of things that we have to be aware of before we begin the actual sugya, and that is, I'll tell you from my great-grandfather, Olav HaShalom, a European Shayid, who when he came to New York and was walking the streets of New York and Brooklyn and wherever he walked, had a custom from the Alter Heim, and the custom was that as he would pass a base of Avodah Zarah, he would spit on the steps and cross to the other side of the streets. And I think that was an attitude that was shared by many European Shayidin who I think had very terrible experiences of what the church in Europe had done to them and had treated them and the anti-Semitism that they had suffered with. And I think they had a visceral sense of what it means to, that what the Torah means of Shaketz Tishaktsenu Kicherem Hu. We live in a different world. We live in a world where everybody loves each other and everything's wonderful and everything's lovey-dovey and nobody ever hates each other, nobody ever speaks badly about another. It's very hard to understand or appreciate that the Torah could say about something Shaketz Tishaktsenu V'ta'ev Tisa'avenu. Because that's just not the way we operate in general in our PC world. It's important to realize that the Torah is, of course, immutable, and the Torah is beyond all times and epochs of human history and human attitude. And we have to sometimes realize that even if we don't actually spit on a step and necessarily cross the street, inside we have to have that attitude of Shakes to Shaketzenu. V'ta'ev t'sa'avenu. The Gemara in the Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel, points out, Kol leitzanusa asur chutz mi leitzanusa d'avodah zarah. If I'm not mistaken, Rashi al-Hator also quotes that. And what is the concept of leitzanus? When we say, latznu, maradnu, when we clap al chet, latznu means, the Mepharshim explained, latznu means you have something that has kavod, and you treated it without kavod. That's what leitzanus means. Leitzanus doesn't mean somebody makes jokes. That's not what leitzanus means. Leitzanus says you have something that's chash, you have Torah, you have avodah, you're yeshemayim, and somebody doesn't take it seriously. That's called leitzanus. So the Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us, kol leitzanus asuru. Things that have seriousness, you shouldn't be making a folly of them. Chutz mi leitzanus d'avodah zarah. The place where a person is supposed to take out the gravity, take out any attitude towards respect from, that is the realm of Avodah Zarah. And that's a difficult challenge in a society that we live in, a culture that we eat, that always appreciates equality, that appreciates sensitivity to different choices and different perspectives. And it's also doubly tricky because there's been a shift in the official Christian theology. There's Vatican I, there's Vatican II. You know, the church of old, hated Jews, or at least officially hated Jews, very clearly and very ostensibly. And it could be that the Vatican officially has changed its position, then decided, they chapped the chiddush, and they decided that apparently Jews are no longer responsible for deicide. We didn't kill their God. They changed their mahalach. It's only been that way for 1,800 years, and now they changed their mahalach. But that's all, so the fact that the church that we're familiar with is not as spewing hatred as it did for the vast majority of human history until a number of decades ago, that is true in terms of our interactions with them and realize that they might not be out to get us from an official standpoint and from official church theology as it might have been once before the Vatican II. But from the halachas of Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Avodah Zarah don't change. If Christianity will be defined as Avodah Zarah, it will carry with it all the stringencies of Avodah Zarah, the entire first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, all the parakim of Maseches Avodah Zarah, especially the first parak that outlines that it's usher to do business with them on their Yom Edom and 3 days before their holiday, and it's usher to do whatever other things that are accompanied with the halachas of Avodah Zarah would equally apply to Christianity, if it's dino of Avodah Zarah, regardless of how they changed their theology and their attitude and their love or hatred of us, that is really a moot point when we talk about the halachas of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Now, when we talk about Avodah Zarah, the chunk of this part of the Shia, this first part of the Shia, will be discussing the Trinity. Now, it could be that there are different streams within the Christian theology. I am not an expert in a Christian theology. There are Catholics, there are Protestants, there are Unitarians, and they might have different views of exactly how to view the Trinity. I am not going to be able to tell you that this is the better, you know, the better theology or the worse theology from an Avodah Zarah perspective, but you'll see that there's going to be two major points, and some of them may apply more or less to some streams of Christianity, as you'll see in a minute. As far as the Rishonim's critique of Christianity, there are two fundamental issues that bring us into the sugya of Avodah Zarah. Notice, at this point of the Shia, I'm not going to say that, oh, it's a different religion. I'm not going to say that yet. I'll mention that svara later, that Ran has such a svara later on, that it's a different religion. No. Avodah Zarah means something very specific. Avodah Zarah means multiple gods, possibly. So let's talk about that. The first issue is Trinity. Now, Trinity means that they believe, I'm not claiming to be an expert, that there is a God, but he's really three. There's the Father, who's the Creator. There's the Son, that's Yeshu, we'll call him, and there's the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure where each one starts and ends, and the next one begins and ends, and the third one starts and ends. And they believe on some level that, yeah, all three are one, and one is three, but there's three different aspects, and therefore they perceive in their own minds that they're monotheists. We look at them and say, no, you're polytheists, in a certain sense. So there is one question of how we will define them, but the very fact that they believe in a Trinity is by definition already problematic, because we believe in one God, they believe in one which is three, or three which is one, so that's at least on some level polytheistic. We're going to get more into the details in just 3 minutes when we see a Tosfos in 3 minutes. So therefore, we have to assume that polytheism is Avodah Zarah. That's problem number one. There's a separate and independent problem, and that is that part of their religion, or part of their God, one of the three parts of their God, is Yeshu, Oso Ish. We'll talk at the end of the year if we're allowed to say his name or not. Jesus. So is he, the part of their religion is that God became incarnate. Carnate, right? Does anyone know, anyone have a Spanish-speaking cleaning lady? And when she does the dishes, she asks you, is this leche, is this milchix, or is it fleshes? How does she say fleshes? Carna, carnivorous, right? I only know because it's halacha maisa. So when they say that there's something called incarnation, that means God became incarnate, became the flesh of Oso Ha'ish. So that means that they're saying that their God has a body, or part of their God has a body, or a third of their God has a body. However you want to define it, what that means is that they are giving a body to their deity or a part of their deity. So if that's the case, if Oso Ha'ish is their God, or their God is Oso Ha'ish, however you want to say it, I'm sure it's very technical and very fine-tuned and very nuanced, ultimately they're saying that their God or some aspect of their deity has some sense of corporeality, physical body. And therefore, even if you would hold that Trinity, which we spoke about a moment ago, is not Avodah Zarah, which there is a possibility to argue that, as we'll see soon, but nevertheless, the fact that they hold that the God became in the flesh of a human being, or the flesh of a human being became God, however you want to look at it, that's a separate and second reason why it would be considered Avodah Zarah. Now, the discussion of most of the poskim is more with the first point as far as the attitude that we have towards Christianity, towards Trinity. So what I would like to do this morning, again, following Rav Ezra Schwartz's pattern, is talk about three shitas in how to view Christianity. We're going to start with the Rambam, then the Meiri, and then with Tosus, who is paskin like the Ramah, is paskins, which is probably the most applicable to us. So first of all, the Rambam is very explicit. I'm going to try to share you, I sent you the source of sources, but I'm going to look at the Rambam's inside. So I'm going to give me a minute. I'm going to share you on the screen for this, because if you see the Lashon of the Rambam, it just makes it a little... Okay. Great. Are you shared on this? No, I think I shared you the wrong screen. Hold on. Oh, no, the right screen. Okay, So look at the Rambam in the Perash HaMishnayis in Avodah Zarah, right? We know that the first parak of Avodah Zarah talks about that I'm not allowed to do business with an Oved Avodah Zarah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring it onto my... Well, that screen is not a good screen for me. My screen is not... That screen is not a good screen. So let me try it again, please. No, but that's the wrong screen. 1 second. Okay. Do you see this screen? Do you see Shitas HaRambam with a red little thing right before the Shitas HaRambam? Give me a thumbs up if you see Shitas HaRambam on top. No, that's the wrong screen. Those are my notes. Okay, so let's... Hold on. I will do that. I'll figure this out. Okay, now do you see Shitas HaRambam in Hebrew? Great, okay, so look at the Rambam in the Perash HaMishnayis. First, the Perash HaRambam for the first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, or maybe the very beginning of Perak of Mishnah Avodah Zarah. Elu HaChagim, right, he's talking about the Mishnah Avodah Zarah, which talks about the Isser to do business with the day of and the 3 days before of their holidays. So Elu HaChagim HaNizkarim HaYimifursam Ba'osas Man Eitz LaNotzrim HaNilveleim. These holidays that the Mishnah talks about, you and I don't recognize those names, but the Notzrim of that time knew exactly what those holidays were, etc. Vida, look what I underlined. Shezos HaUma HaNotzris. This, we'll call it Nazarenith, however you want to call it. This nation of Nazarenes, Notzri. HaOmedes B'tainas HaMashiach, that has their claims of the Messiah, Al-Chiv Kitoset, with all the different subsets of this religion, Kulam Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Ve'edehem, and all their holidays, Kulam Asurim, V'no'agim Iman B'chol HaTaru, and for all matters of Halacha, we treat them, K'moshen Ogim Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we treat them like Ovdei Avodah Zarah, V'yom Rishon Hu, Michlal Edehem Shel Goyim, and Sunday is considered Edehem. That means a person, according to the Rambam, he says explicitly, that all this, this Christian religion, that believes in the coming of the Messiah with all the different subsets of Christianity, and they have their Sunday as a holiday. Sunday is a bona fide holiday as defined by the Mishnah, and one is not allowed to do business, buy and sell with a Christian person on Sundays, and perhaps even 3 days before Sundays. And that person who believes in Christianity is considered an Oved Avodah Zarah l'chol divrayhem. Now, if that's not clear, because that's only the Perash HaMishnayis, right? And that's in Arabic, maybe we're mistranslating it or something. Well, it says the Rambam in the Yad, HaNotzrim Ovdei Avodah Zarah Heim, V'yom Rishon Hu Yom Eidam. And therefore, you can't do business with them. Well, here he distinguishes. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't do business 3 days before, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. I guess 3 days total. No, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and of course Sunday. You cannot do business in Eretz Yisrael with a Christian. And in Chutz La'aretz, it's only Asr on Sundays. Okay, that's the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam says that that's important to keep in mind, that the Rambam is assuming Christianity is Avodah Zarah Mamish, because when he talks about Yayin Nesach and Stam Yenam, here he says that Yayin Nesach, Yayin Stam Yenam will apply to all Goyim who are of Oved Avodah Zarah. However, look what he says here. Kol akum she'eino oved avodah zarah kagon elu hayishme'elim. Oh, then you're allowed to get hanah from the yayin. So the Rambam is telling us something fascinating and incredibly important. Halacha ma'isa, Islam is not avodah zarah. Makes sense, right? Because they believe in the same God that we believe in. How many? Well, just one. Oseh shemayim va'aretz. The Christians, on the other hand, are considered ovdei avodah zarah mamish. No punches held back. No holding back whatsoever. They are mamish of the Avodah Zarah. So that is the Shitas HaRambam. Now, it's also Doraisa if it's poured on the Mizbech, and it's also Drabbanon as Exer Drabbanon, so that we don't come to marry their daughters or don't come to... one second, I'm just adjusting my screen. So we don't come to marry their daughters and the like, and drink with them. So that's the Shitas HaRambam. So the Rambam says very clearly it is real Avodah Zarah. And again, there's one reason that we saw is he just said it's Avodah Zarah, probably because it's the Trinity is considered Avodah Zarah. But it's a little bit more complicated, because if we look also in the Rambam, the famous Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam goes through, we don't have to see this inside because it's more of an arichas, the Rambam talks about how Avodah Zarah came to be. Like you and I, none of us look at the lamp pole outside our window or down, on the street in front of our house and say, oh wow, this is a lamp pole, there's a lamppost, this is a tree that holds up the wires, I think it's my God, I'm going to start bowing down to him. We're not stupid, and people in the olden days were no more stupid than we are. We're no less intelligent than we are. So the Rambam explains that the way Avodah Zarah came to be is that originally, of course, Adam Chava, understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can do anything. And then little with time, they started assuming that we should also praise Hashem's servants. Right? Hashem's servants are his sun, his moon, his planets. And they should also join in praising them also, because they are, give them cover, because they are Hashem's helpers. And then little by little, as the generations continued, they thought maybe they'll there's some independent strength to those shamashim of the sun and the moon, etc. And then they started saying, let's try to please the sun and the moon. And then ultimately it led to the fact that they saw the sun and the moon, etc., as being independent gods. So what that means is that the foundation, what is that understanding? That's saying that they see God as the God, but also the other things in the world as being partners with God. In a certain sense, that is a very primitive understanding of the Trinity. Meaning, when the Rambam introduces Avodah Zarah historically, going back to the original version of what Avodah Zarah was, it's not that he's talking about Christianity. He's talking about 1,500 years before Christianity, 3,000 years before Christianity began, 3,700 years before Christianity began, and still there's the concept of Shituf, and the Rambam is saying that those were the seeds, those were the sprouts from which Avodah Zarah sprouted, and that is Shituf. So the Rambam is understanding that Shituf is Avodah Zarah even well before Christianity came into play. I don't know. Does it matter if God's on top and these are right here, but they help him and they're also deities, or they put them on the same as God, or they put... I don't know if it matters so much. The fact that they bow down and they serve things that are other than God himself, God plus. That's what Trinity is. That's what the Trinity is. That's what Shituf is. Shituf means, I believe in the God who created the world and in 7 days, that just like the Jews do, but I also believe that my battle of Powerade equally... is worthy of bowing down to and asking to please hydrate me. So if I join something else with God, that is Shituf. That is the problem of Shituf. A 100%. So again, Zeus is probably Avodah Zarah, not Shituf, because Shituf means you believe in the real God who created the world, who's indeed infinite, but then you believe in something else that's also helping him. When you believe in Zeus, that's even the essential belief is in something that might be Avodah Zarah. But I don't know enough about Zeus to Paskin. Okay, let's go to the next point. There's a third point in the Rambam where we see that the Rambam understands that Shituf or should be Avodah Zarah. And that is in the Ikarei Hadas, Yigil Ikarim, one of them is Yichud Hashem. Now, if you say Hashem Echad, what do we mean when we say Hashem Echad? Hashem Echad doesn't mean there's not seven gods, not six, not five, not four, not three, not two, not... There's only one! No, that's not what Echad means. Echad, as the Rambam explains, Echad means there's one, not in the sense of, as opposed to two, but there's one in the sense of it's all and it's all encompassing, it's unique, it's indivisible, it's not made out of parts. It's not like there's one as opposed to two halves, which make up one. No, one means it's a cohesive you know, sort of like, you know, the menorah is a mikshe zahav. It's not like you took two pieces and put it together. It's not that you could divide it in half. It's one is a one that is undivisible, an indivisible one. And it's a unique one. It's not a conglomerate of parts. And therefore, even if they say that three is one, but if you say three is one, that means one could be divided into three aspects. That, by definition, is a lack of the singularity or a lack of the achdus that we say when we say Hashem Echad. That's A. And B, by the fact that you say that there is, that God can have any physical form, obviously, if you could take a human body and chop him up into pieces, that means that God, or if they're saying that God has a physical form, that means there's some physicality and some ability to divide. That means there's not a oneness to that God. So anything that's physical can't be one, because anything that's physical can be divided into parts and pieces, and therefore it's not one in the sense of what the Rambam says we have to believe is Achdus Hashem. And therefore any ascribing of physicality to God is going to by definition be a defiance of the Achdus Hashem, the oneness of God, and that's also going to be Avodah Zarah. So, go ahead. You're saying a good point. There's probably truth in what you're saying. I don't know how the Midos work, nor do I know how the Trinity works. I will consider myself an ignoramus in both areas. So on two counts, I will be unable to answer your question. But yeah, they're gonna say, no, you don't really understand. When we say three is one, we really mean three is really one. Except it's a person, and it's a God, and it's a spirit, and three is one, and one is three. But really it is one, and one is three. You know, again, that's they're going to have to say something like that because they believe that they're monotheists. Right, so if I, again, without getting into Kabbalah, because I'm not a Mekubal, but the way I always understood is that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's Ein Sof, which is absolute Achdus, and then there's a way that he dilutes himself in order to interact with us, and all the Midos is not Hashem himself, Kivayachu, but it's just Hashem's interactions with us. The humans understand Hashem's interaction with him in a way that I sometimes see a rachamim, I sometimes see a gvura, I sometimes see a teferis acting towards me, I sometimes see a hod acting towards me, but it's not that Hashem has hod and Hashem has teferis and Hashem has gvura. But again, I don't want to go there now. Okay. What's that? I'm sorry, something wrong with your microphone. Rabbi Sonnenblick? Try again. I don't know, your Wi-Fi is not working so well, so try again later. So let's move on. So that was the Shitas HaRambam. Now let's look at the Shitas HaMe'iri. The Me'iri is the absolute opposite extreme, and he's of course bothered by the Shaila that the Rishonim all were bothered by. How could it be that the people among whom we're living in Europe are over the Avodah Zarah if we every day do business with them? So there's a stira between all the Mishnayos in the beginning of Avodah Zarah and everyday life. And that was a challenge that everybody was bothered by. And Tosos, indeed, on the very first Amud in Avodah Zarah, is bothered by this question. How do we do business with them if they're mamish of the Avodah Zarah? So Tosos has a few answers. And after we go to Tosos' answers, we'll look at the Me'iri. Tosos says, maybe there's a heter of Eva. That Eva is always a chash, right? If there's Eva, they might come to kill us, and therefore you can't not, you know, do business with them because there's an Eva. Okay, that's one answer that Tosis offers. Tosis in Avodah Zarah Daf Beis Amud Aleph suggests another answer, that maybe the Goyim in our time, they don't really believe anything. You know, it's sort of like Christmas nowadays has become a holiday for retailers, not for religious. You know, it's not a religious holiday, it's a retail holiday. So the Goyim of our time, Tosis says, they're not really devout, they don't really believe anything seriously, and therefore that's not of the Avodah Zarah that the Mishnayos speak of. And thirdly, Rabbi Natam suggests in the end of Tosis that maybe the Isser Matzah V'Matan only applies to items that are actually used in the Avodah Zarah service per se, not just, you know, if you want to sell face masks, or you want to sell pens, or you want to sell Gatorade, you know, there's no iser masav matan on those things. It's an iser masav matan to sell spices, to sell crackers for the Eucharist, to sell, you know, wine for their nisa chayayin. That kind of stuff would be aser, is what the Mishnayos prohibit. That's the Tosis's mahalach. But now we're going to look at the Meiri, who is going to present a different mahalach, but his different mahalach is really to answer the same question. So I want to show you the lashon . Those are three different points. One point was Eva, that's why we're allowed to do business with her. The second point was, what was my second point? The second point was that maybe the goyim of our generations are not devout, they're not really frum. The third svara was that the Isser Masav Matan is limit of the Mishnayos, are limited only to things that are actually used in Avodah Zarah service per se. We're now going to give a fourth answer, but not of Tosfos, but rather of the Meiri. The Meiri is probably a Meiri that you've heard of before. But it's good to see us inside. So where's the Meiri? We went to the Shitas HaRambam. Now look at the Meiri. The Meiri, I want to start with one Lashon of the Meiri, and then we'll go back to a different Lashon. This is Meiri in Gittin Samach Beis. The Meiri says, after he talks about a lot of the halachos of Avodah Zarah, he says the following, Mikol Makom, Umos HaGeduros, these four words we have to define. B'darkei Hadassos U'ma'amina B'tzivuso Yisparach L'achduso V'yecholto. The nations that are bound in, they're not crazy, wild, uncivilized. B'darchei hadassos, they are in an organized religion. U'ma'amina b'mitzvah, they believe in the single God and in His being all powerful. Even though they're a little confused about certain matters, they are not considered ovdei avodah zarah. Let me show you something a little bit more clear where the Meiri addresses Christianity head on. There he didn't specify any religions. He was just saying that religions that are sort of organized and civilized and believe in an omnipotent God is not considered Avodah Zarah, which is, of course, an extreme, extreme, extreme position. But look how the Meiri says this. Nearly, again, he's talking about Avodah Zarah. Shedvar me'elu kulam lo nemru el ala ovdei alil mitziru asevetz lameyam. When we speak about Avodah Zarah, we're talking about, you know, the people that are bowing down to the trees and the idols and the images. But Bizmanim Halalu Mutu Legamre, the Meiri lived in France. He lived in Christian territory. I don't know exactly which form of Christian lived in, you know, the 1300s, 1200s in southern France. But it's definitely France, France, a.k.a. the Crusades, right? Like the kinos that we said yesterday. So he lived in France. But the Gemara had mentioned the word Nazri. We know the Gemara knows the word Nazri. The Gemara uses the word Nazri. Umash Amr b'Gemara Nazri l'olam aser. Right, so the Rambam took that Gemara very literally. And the Rambam said, therefore, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Look at this Meiri. Look at the intellectual gymnastics that he's about to go through. Ani mefarish milashon notzrim. What is the word notzrim? Nothing to do with the word Christian. Notzrim habaa me'eretz mercha kamer beyirmia shekaru osam ha'am notzrim al shem nevuchad netzar. Wow. Notzrim has nothing to do with the city of Nazareth, where a certain person came from or was born or whatever at Nazareth. No, Notzrim is milashon, the people who come from the land of Nevuchad Netzar. And we know, how come the Gemara talked about Sunday? We have Notzrim and Sunday, and you're telling me that Notzrim doesn't mean Christian, it means Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, no, it means Nebuchadnezzar. And why Sunday? Because we know that they served the sun. And which day is the sun? Well, I'll give you a hint. Monday means the moon day. Sunday means the sun day. Right. So in the early traditions, and therefore they called their religion, the Gemara calls their religion Nazri Bechod, because of the people from Nebuchadnezzar's land, and Sunday, as in, that's the root of the English word Sunday. It was the day maybe the sun was the sun created on Sunday? No, that was by us Monday, right? I'm Oris HaGdolim. I'm confused for a second. Okay, so either way, Shitas HaMeiri is that Umitoch Kach HaYukorn L'Oso Yom Notzri Al Shem Sheya Kavua L'Nevuch HaNetzar. Okay, so therefore, the Meiri says that Notzri of the Gemara has nothing to do with Christianity, and Christianity is not a problem. It's not a Avodah Zarah. Not that it's not a problem, but it's not a Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, the real Avodah Zarah that all the Mishnayos are speaking of, is the Avodah Zarah of, you know, bowing down to an idol and a pestle and an image and the like. So that is Shitas HaMeiri. Now, you realize that there's always a little bit of cynicism that we could have when we read a Meiri like that. Because was Meiri writing that because he really believed that? Or was Meiri terrified of the Christian censor and he knew that he had to say something really nice and polite so that the Christian censor won't just rip out pages from Shas? So we will never know the answer to that question. Most, you know, poskim seem to assume that at least the Meiri did it because he believed it, not just because of a Christian censor, but do we postulate this Meiri? Will we accept this Meiri? So we're never going to know the answer of what the Meiri really meant. But to rely on the Meiri, there's a Rabbi Bleich, when he writes about this, quotes of Heshi Reichman from our yeshiva, who heard from the Rav, that the Meiri is a mere curiosity. In general, the Shitas HaMeiri is not a strong Shita in Psak, until you get to the Mishnah Berurah, who sort of like, Rabbi Shechter likes to talk about the fact that the Mishnah Berurah has a very new Mahalach in Psak that we never had before, of just collecting Shitas and finding odd opinions. And Meiri is one of those Shitas that the Mishnah Berurah likes to collect. But typically, we didn't have the Meiri. The Chazanish says explicitly that we don't accept the Meiri because the Meiri was not part of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. Doesn't mean it's not a nice Rishon to learn. Doesn't mean that the Beis HaBechira doesn't have incredible, wonderful pearls. But as far as Psak is concerned, the Meiri was not part of the Mesorah, as were the Ritva, the Rashba, and other Rishonim, and of course, Tosis and the Balei HaTosis. And therefore, you know, this Meiri is essentially rejected. It's a great collector's item, and we need to rely on some really dachuk dikah situation. There is a Shitas HaMeiri who says that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. Nothing's really Avodah Zarah nowadays, except for people who bow down to idols. So that's the Shitas HaMeiri. So we have the Rambam, we have the Meiri. Now let's go to the most important opinion for us, for Ashkenazim, and that's the opinion of Tosus. So let's see. We're going to have to look at Tosus inside because... Let me open up the Tosus. Tosus in Sanhedrin is talking about, and we have to know what it's talking about because that's going to be a big part of the discussion. Tosus is talking about an iser to make a shutfus with a guy. In general, nothing to do with religion. You're not allowed to make a business partnership with a guy. And the Gemara says because you might make him, you might get into a fight. And of course, when you get into a fight, you swear in the name of your God to prove your point, and by making him swear, that would be a violation of lo yishama al picha. The issue that we have is that obviously there are plenty of partnerships. People have plenty of partnerships nowadays with Gentiles, and I assume in the time of Tosus, there was also a possibility of a partnership with Gentiles. So let's look at Tosus. Let's do the whole Tosus. We really only need to do the last part of it, but. Of course, the whole point why you can't do a shutfus is only that you don't come to make a shvua or cause him to be nishba in his God. So clearly, if he makes a shvua, you're not mekabel because he made it in his own God. So that is going to be mutter. Why? And this is what Rabbeinu Tam explains. Mikol makom bizman hazeh, says Rabbeinu Tam, of course, living in, I guess, the 1100s or so, Kulan nishbam bekodoshim shelahem, ve'ein tovsim bohem elohus. They don't swear in the name of God, they swear in the name of their kodoshim. Now, to translate this word, you have to know a little bit of Christian theology, you have to know a little bit of Christian history. I don't. However, Dr. David Berger is an expert in this field, and he, based on his incredible knowledge of Christian theology, that's one of the areas of his expertise as a historian, he explained, this is a translation that he says the following. He says, in these days, they all swear in the name of their saints. Oh. Because there are attacked other svarim in that time that talk about the word kadashim, of the Christians as saints, not as actual gods. They swear by in the name of this saint or that saint, to whom they do not attribute divinity. Okay. So that's the first point. Frektosvis, frektobetotam, viafal pishamaz, kir shamashamaz, kir yubahem shem shamayim, vikavonasal davar acher. But what do you mean? They also say his name, davar acher, meaning oso ha'ish. Mikol makom, ein ze shem avodas kochavim, gam ledaitam, gam daitam leoso shamayim, afal pi shemishtam shem shem shamayim, davar acher. When they say God, they really mean the God, which God? The God who created the earth, the God who created the world. They're saying the God that you and I believe in. Except that they add something in, meaning God plus his right-hand man, JC, right? So this is the Trinity. This is a reference to the Trinity. Again, the God who created the world in 7 days, Oseh Shemayim Varetz, but the Mishtati Oseh Shemayim with Davar Acher. Now look at the next six words, and these next six words are incredibly important. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Lo Ashkechan De'Oseh Ligrom La'acherim L'Shatef. It says Tosis, I have to be very careful how I translate these words because there's going to be machlokes achronim how to translate these six words. Lo ashkechan, we have not found that it's aser to cause others, gayim, l'shatef, to do shituf. We're going to see a gigantic machlokes haposkim how to understand those six words and a gigantic nafkamina between them. I'm going to present to you the two mahalchim right now, and then it'll just be easier to work with as we see things inside afterwards. One mahalch is that it's not usur to cause somebody else to do shituf. Why? Let's read the next few words of Tosas. There's no lifnei iver to get the guy to do shituf. Why? Dibnei noach lo huzer al kach. If I would turn around and get one of you to do shituf, that would be terrible. You're yidden. That would be terrible. But if I get a, because you're muzhar in not just not to do avodah zarah, also not to do shituf, because you're a Jew. But b'nei noach, it's true they can't do avodah zarah, but it's not true to say that they can't do shituf. B'nei noach are muzhar to not do avodah zarah. That's one of the seven mitzvahs of b'nei noach, but that's avodah zarah. Shituf is not avodah zarah. And therefore, I can get them to do shituf. They're not bound by shituf. And therefore, if they are mishatev, I'm not violating lifnei iver by getting him or making him swear in his shituf, if I make him swear in his idol, in his pesel, in his getchka, as we say in Yiddish, so then I would be violating lifnei iver. I'm getting a guy to do an avera, that's an avera for him. But if I get him to swear in his shituf, in the Trinity, lo huzharu al kach, they're not violating anything by observing the Trinity. This reading of Tosis says that bnei noach are not prohibited to believe in the Trinity. The Trinity is Avodah Zarah for a Jew, but the Trinity for a Goy is not considered Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the Ramah, who's going to mention this Shita, will presumably hold that the Trinity is not Avodah Zarah. And therefore, what very significant item comes out from this? Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. A church is not a base Avodah Zarah. And this Mahalach of Rabbeinu Tam, not like the Rambam. The Rambam says it's Avodah Zarah, Gomer, without any questions, a base Avodah Zarah, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. This Rabbeinu Tam seems to be saying that Shituf, for me, is Avodah Zarah, Shituf for a Goy is not Avodah Zarah, and it is not Usr for them. He's not Muzra Al-Kach. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's why I could get into a partnership with the Goy and make him swear, even if he's going to do Shituf in his swearing, because he's not Muzra on Shituf. And therefore, we have a totally new understanding of how to look at the Trinity. And that's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it from this flow, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say because it's very different than what the Meiri. The Meiri said, "Oh, the people who live nowadays, the only thing that's Avodah Zarah is people bow down to idols. But everyone who lives nowadays is all wonderful." That sounds more like you're doing it for the censor. This is a very nuanced, very technical. It's hard to say. I don't think people say that about Rabbeinu Tam, about this Rabbeinu Tam. Well, we don't know what Rabbeinu Tam holds about Christianity. But yeah, that's a good point, and we're going to make that point in a little while. We're going to get to some current day machlokas haposkim about how to look at Islam, and we're going to reference that. We'll talk about a similar point to what you're making. Reb Avadia makes your ha'ara with a twist. Okay. Yeah. Good ha'ara. He's not relating to this. He's only, like I mentioned earlier, when I mentioned those two points, the Rishonim really deal with the Trinity issue, not the incarnation issue. Okay. So, Tyler, what? Shituf is Trinity. Shituf means like to join together. God plus something else. There's God plus his right-hand man. The God who created the world, the God that you and I believe in. God Oseh Shemayim Va'aretz. But he has somebody else with him, or something else with him. The sun and the moon, a guy named JC, whatever you want to say, but it's the God plus one. Avodah Zarah, that's not Shita, would just be, you know, the sun and the moon on its own. Okay. Well, let's not talk about that. That's going to be a side point. That's not their fundamental theology. That will be a side point that we'll have to, you know, they don't bow down to the idol per se, but let's talk about that maybe as a detail later on. Let's move on. Now, hold on. I just want to cover some ground, and then we'll see if you have time afterwards. Now, that is the opinion of, that is the Rama that I told you. That is the, I'm sorry, Tosus. Tosus, of course, is quoted in the Rama. Now, look at this Rama. The Rama is, of course, how we Ashkenazim follow. So, Yesh Mekilin, look, you still shared on the screen. Yesh Mekilin, Basia Shutfus and Hakusim Bismanezeb. Bismanezeb, you could do Shutfus with an Ovid with a whatever, with a Gentile. Mishum Shein Hakusim Bismanezeb, Nishpoim Be Inyan Acher, I think. Ve'afal Gav de Mezkirin Havodah Zara. Mikomokon Kavanosim Lo'osei Shemai Varets El Shem Shtatum Shein Shemai Vidover Acher. Ve'lo Matzino Sheish Bezem Mishum Lifnei Iver Lozitin Mechshol. Deharei Einam Muzharam Al Hashituf. Gentiles are not commanded to avoid Shituf, and therefore if they swear for the Trinity, it should be totally fine. That is the Rama. So the Rama is taking this Tosfos, passing it this Tosfos, and saying that Avodah Zarah, Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. That's what it seems. Comes the Pischei Tshuva, comes the Noda Behuda, and says, you're missing the boat entirely, my dear Rama. You don't know how to read a Tosfos. Let's go back to Tosfos. Says the Noda Behuda, and some other Achronim also, Rusalvejik also agreed to the Noda Behuda, not like this, what I just read you from the Rama. Says the Noda Behuda, let's go back again. This is the Tosfos, and he's going to have a totally different way to read this last line of Tosfos. That's not going to have the same conclusion. And will come out that indeed, Shituf is Avodah Zarah, not only for us, but also for Goyim. All that the last line of Tosfos is going to say, as you'll see in a moment, is that there's no iser in making somebody else swear in the name of a shituf. We're not going to change what the halachas of shituf are between Jews, the definition of avodah zarah for a Jew, and definition of avodah zarah for a goy. The definition of avodah zarah is avodah zarah, shituf is avodah zarah. All that Tosfos is saying, and we'll look at it inside in a moment, all that Tosfos is saying is that there's no iser in hilchis shavuos. In Hilchos, making somebody be nishba, there's no iser making somebody be nishba in the name of a shituf. But shituf as a religion is avodah zarah to us and to them equally. Look at that inside now. Tosfos says it's not a problem to swear, to make them swear. Why? Even though they're swearing in the name of shituf, says Tosfos, lo ashichan de osur ligrom la'achirim l'shatif. There's no iser for us to cause them to say shituf in their oaths. Not that b'nei noach are not muzhar on shituf. Of course, it's avodah zarah, just like it is for us. They're not muzhar on swearing b'shituf. So the Noda Behuda translates this last line of Tosfos totally differently. And says the iser is not that, the reason why it's mutar to make them swear is not because it's not avodah zarah for them. It is avodah zarah for them, but there's no iser for them to swear in shituf. It's a hilchus shavuos. It's a vort in hilchus shavua, not a vort in hilchus avodah zarah. Now let's see the words, the citation, in the Pischei Tshuva in Yoredei quotes this Noda Behuda. Be'emes kavonas haramo demash meshate b'shavua. Shena Omer Eli Atarakshim as Kubish Waswim Shem Shemaim, but Zematin Isli Israel. For a Jew to be Nishba with God and something else, that's also for a Jew, but not for a guy. What Isser is it for a Jew? We're not talking Hilchas Avodah Zarah right now. We're talking a different Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Uvishmo Tishaveu, you Jews, this is one of the Tayag, right? Swear, when you swear, you have to swear in Shem Hashem. Guess what? That pasuk, that mitzvah of Ubishmo Tishaveu, is a mitzvah on Jews as part of Taryag. It's not a mitzvah on one of the Zion mitzvahs, B'nei Noach. It's not one of the seven. Aval Ovdei Kochavim Einom Muzharim Alzeh. They don't have the chiyuv to swear only in the name of their God. They could swear however they want. But in terms of fundamentally, is it Avodah Zarah, is it not Avodah Zarah? Aval Kishovei Avodas Kochav V'shitav, if he would actually serve the Trinity, it would be equally Avodah Zarah as if you and I would, God forbid, serve the Trinity. That is the opinion of the Noda B'Yehuda. And therefore, Rabosai, we come out with the Rambam says everything's Avodah Zarah. It's clearly Avodah Zarah. The Miri says Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. In the middle, we have a Shitas Haram HaTosvis who says that maybe Shituf. We have two ways to read this Ramah. Either the Ramah is saying that Shituf is Avodah Zarah for Jews, but it's not Avodah Zarah for Goyim. Or the way to know the Behuda is suggesting that Shituf is equally Avodah Zarah to everybody. But is there an Isser to swear in the name of a Shituf? The Isser to swear is only for a Jew, but the Isser to swear is not for a Goy, because swearing in the name of God is not one of their seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And that is a raging, raging, raging machlokas. And coming out of this will be, is Shituf, is the Trinity considered Avodah Zarah? Is a church considered a base Avodah Zarah? How do Rov Poskim Paskim, my friends? Rov Poskim Paskim, not like this Noda B'Yehuda, rather like the simple reading of the Ramah, that indeed a Christianity is Avodah Zarah and a Christian church is a base Avodah Zarah, l'chol halchoseha. That means you are not permitted to walk into a church. That means you're not permitted to, well, we'll talk about more things. We'll talk about some other details as we go. Yes. No, the Ramah says, seems to say, let me show you the Ramah. Look at the Ramah. Let me just show you the Ramah again inside. The Lashon of the Ramah. Here we go. Darei ein muzharim al hashitav. You see those words of the Ramah? The Ramah says, sorry, I'm working with three screens right now, so. One second, please. I'm a little lost. One second, I can't find myself on the screen. I see where you are. Okay. Okay, here you go. You see, right now we're in the Shulchan Aruch, we're in the Ramah, in Hilchis Kuf Nun Vav. This is actually not Hilchis Avodah Zarah in your day, this is Hilchis Beis HaKnesses. Look at what I highlighted. Harei Einam Muzharim Al Hashituf. The words of the Ramah say quite clearly, he's understanding the Rabbeinu Tam of Tosis, that they are not muzhar in Shituf. They are not bound in Shituf. Meaning, Shituf is not Avodah Zarah. You and I know that one of the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Avodah Zarah. And if you say that a guy is not bound in Shituf, that means Shituf is not Avodah Zarah. Well, if Shituf is not Avodah Zarah, then Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, and Christians are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And therefore, you could go into a church. That seems to be the simple reading of the Ramah. The majority of the poskim do not assume like I just told you, the majority of the poskim, I think the Taz already rejects this. Okay, back to our show. Okay. I don't know if they read the Ramah differently, but they say that Ramah is not how we read the Tosfos, and therefore. I'm sorry. Correct. Yes, I made a mistake. I retract that. I am sorry. Yes, I said that wrong. Most poskim say that we do treat Christianity as Avodah Zarah, like the reading of the Noda Yehuda in Tosfos, not like the simple reading of the Rama in Tosfos. When I say most poskim, I have to be careful, because remember, the Rama, we have a machlokes hana under, the Rama was just quoting Tosfos. The Rambam says that it is. That it is. Meaning everyone beside, putting the Meiri out of the equation. Let's leave the Meiri out, because again, he's a mere curiosity. But when you deal with most of the Rishonim, it's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam who comes up with this incredible, brilliant chiluk, as Rabbeinu Tam does all the time, to distinguish between Avodah Zarah and Shita for Ligabe Yeshua. But it seems that most Rishonim do assume, like the Rambam, that Christianity would be Avodah Zarah. Okay, now, let's go to the next point. Now that we finished the theology half of the shiur, now we could go to the application half of the shiur. Assuming that most poskim say Christianity is Avodah Zarah, let's now talk about going into a church. We have a mission of Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph that says that you're not even allowed to go into a city that has a church. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, I don't have to show it to you inside, you can see it on the source, the Knesset, on the bottom of page 5. The Mishnah says, basically, that if you go into a city that has a road, and the road ends sort of at the church, it's at the end of the road, then you cannot go even down that road. If there, you go down a road that could go to a church, or could go somewhere else, then you're allowed to go into that road. So if you go into a city that has a church in it, but there's somewhere else that you could go, then you'd be able to, that it would be permitted to go. Let me rephrase that, I'm sorry. Sorry. If you have a city that has a Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah says you can't go into the city. If that city has a Avodah Zarah outside in the suburbs, and there's a road going there, then you're allowed to go on that road, if it's not into the city. If the road also, you know, winds its way to other places as well. However, if the road only goes to that city of the Mokum Avodah Zarah, then you can't even go on that road. So the question will be, what if the, let's talk about for now, let's see 2 points on this in the Mar Makomas. Let me open up the Mar Makomas again for you. I'm going to make 2 points as far as when you could possibly consider going into a church or not. So the Meiri, I'm sorry, the Ritva says very strongly. The Ritva says, right, the Mishnah said, Ir sheish bavodas kochavim, etc. Chutzla motor, you could go to the outside of the city, but not inside the city. Fine. And why are you not allowed to go into the city? The chayshina and the chashta afil, says the Meiri, afil b'mokam sakana, could go into chotzi maya, Dilo Shasi Mayas, even if you are hiking through the Saharan desert, and you've been traveling for 2.5 days since your canteen ran out, and you're about to drop dead from dehydration, says the Meiri, that even in such a case, you're not allowed to go into this city, basically, where the Avodah Zarah is, or certainly into the Avodah Zarah. Why? Wow. Says the Ritva, and this we know is a raging machlokas rishonim, that not only we know that Avodah Zarah is Yaharik Val Yavar, as the other two of the Gimel Chamorot are Yaharik Val Yavar, but there's a whole shayla in the rishonim. What about Abizrayu, the accessories of the Gimel Chamorot? I don't want to do Avodah Zarah, I just want to go into a church, which is Zasser, as an accessory of Avodah Zarah. So will we apply the chumrah of Yehar Val Yavar only to the service of Avodah Zarah, or even to the accessories of Avodah Zarah, like going into a church? Here the Ritva says, even going to a church, which is only an accessory of Avodah Zarah, would also carry the chumrah of this chumrah of Yehar Val Yavar. And therefore it seems, Olafiza, also, likanis the base of Avodah Zarah, but malkam she'en regilu hagayin likanis shem el tzorach Avodah Zarah. But if it's a place that's uniquely for Avodah Zarah, it's going to be usher to come in. And presumably, even if it's for, even if there's going to be a sakana for a person. Why? Because we have a din of Yeharig Valyavar, on entering a church. You should know how many shilas I got about this issue, entering a church. Apparently, there was a big orthodontics convention about a few months ago. I think it was January time, February time, and there was the orthodontist. The reason why I'm saying this is because I got this shayla from a bunch of people, all orthodontists, going to this main orthodontics convention, and it was in a very beautiful building called something like something on the park. A very, very nice name, something like Convention on the Park or something like that. And then about 2 days before this convention, one of the guys Googled where's Convention on the Park and saw a picture on Google and said, wow, it looks a little bit like a church. What is this? This is an old building that was a church and it's still used as a church on Sundays, but it's a very beautiful building and it's right in it. And I guess they don't have much of a church population there. I guess they don't have Shachas, Mincha, Ma'ariv on weekdays. And it's right off Central Park, and it's a great space for conventions. So they don't call it a church because they don't want it to have any denominational, uncomfort. So they call it something like Convention on the Park. That's the name of the building. It also has a different name, but they don't use that name. And they had the Orthodontic Convention in the sanctuary of the church. All the pews are moved out. It's a beautiful convention hall. You just see, the beautiful stained glass windows and the gigantic tall cathedral ceiling. And it wasn't even a separate room. It was in the sanctuary of the church. And they found out a few days before, and I told them, I got a text from the orthodontist. No, no, no. I got a text from the orthodontist, Mark and Yossi. It was Shamshi Eisenberger. He was at the convention already. He looks up and he says, this looks like I'm in a church. It didn't say there were a church anywhere. And there was scaffolding around the building, so you couldn't see that it was a church from the outside because there was a side entrance with scaffolding around it. You walk inside, it's a beautiful convention, set up like a convention, but he looked up and it just said, there's stained glass window, there's a cathedral ceiling. So I quickly Googled, as he's texting me from inside, I said, get out, get out, get out. And he got out. So, so that was... That's this Ritva. This Ritva might say that even if you lose your business, even if you lose your, you work for an orthodontics, and he says, if you don't go to this convention, consider yourself fired. What do you say? Okay, Yehar Gval Yavar, it's Avizrayu Devar Azara. And I have to lose my job to not be in here. I'm not, God forbid, bowing down to anything here, but that's the Shitas Haritva. We'll talk about that. Now, what I just quoted for you was the Ritva. The Ritva holds, as some Rishonim do, as his cadre of Rishonim hold, that even Avizrayu of the Gimel Chamuros, even not the Isser Avodah Zarah itself, but even Avizrayu of Avodah Zarah, like walking into a base Avodah Zarah, is also Yehareg Vayavar. It's important to know that not everybody holds like that. For example, the Shach quotes the Ritva and the Rashba. I just told you the Ritva, the Rashba holds the same thing. The Rashba says, "Afil aliske rabim, afil pikuach nefesh, also likonispo." Even for pikuach nefesh, you're not allowed to enter a church. Right? There's a guy running after you with a knife, and he's about 4 inches from your left shoulder blade. And if you duck into a church, you will not be stabbed in the heart from the back. Says the Rashba, "Take the blade. You're not allowed to run into the church." That's the Rashba and the Ritva that we just saw a moment ago. However, you should just know I'm an open-minded modern Orthodox rabbi, and I'll give you a kula. Aval haran cholik, the v'sakonis nefashos shari. If he's running after you with a blade, then you're allowed to run into the church. I'm getting to your question, Yossi, right? I just gave you a heter. If someone's running after you with a 7-inch blade, you're allowed to, according to some, you're allowed to go into the church. Fine. That is the Machlokas Rashba Ritva against the Ran. Based on that, you could now get to your question. You asked, what about Vatican City? Vatican City might be a little more complicated because it's a whole city, but let's talk about going to a church for art purposes. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Asli Kanes the Knesas, Knesias Hanotzrim, that's a church, Knesias is a church. Poshet, Shali Kanes the Knesias Hanotzrim, Shumokin, Shodan, Vosin, Filosan, Shasr Afli Kanes Rakl Habit Bitsuros. Even though you just want to appreciate the art, even though you just want to be a civilized art appreciator person, you will be in violation of not only going into the church, but even appreciating the art is a separate isser, Rav Moshe is going to say. Rav Moshe says, there's no difference between studying art and learning history. Not that I have anything against history. The pasuk says, "Shalavich v'yagelcha zekedecha v'yomrulach, v'inushnos dor v'dor." But that's not Christian history. That's Jewish history. So I'm trying to see where the Rav Moshe is. He says another point. He also says. This is an interesting thing what he says over here. If something would be made just as a decoration, not for the church itself, that's one thing. Aval, imnasu l'noi havodah zara, beis havodah zara, imnasu l'noi havodah zara. Well, we know a beis havodah zara is asur b'hana, k'mo havodah zara. And therefore, anything that's made in proximity, in association to the church, that is going to be Asur Bahana. And therefore, V'chol Hatsuras Hanimsam Sham Kulam Af Elish Lonavdu Nasu Lunoi Havodah Zara. When you go into the Vatican, you go into Michelangelo, you go into the Sistine Chapel to look at Michelangelo's artwork, Michelangelo didn't just want to paint, he wanted to inspire, right? For the fact that you want to go in to see this church artwork is itself, you know, questionable and not so great in terms of our hashkafos. Oh, and then he quotes his son, Rav David Feinstein, Shlitu Shavar Fu Shlema. I will tell you, Rabosai, a fascinating thing that you might not hear anywhere else. Every single time I've asked Rav Shechter a question, he's either told me, I don't know, like he likes to say a lot of times, because l'olam yilamid adam piv shlom reini yodeh, or he told me the answer with whatever explanation. One time in my life, I asked a shayla, it was a mamzer shayla. A real mamzer shayla, a real bona fide mamzer shayla, just like straight out of the books. And he thought for a little bit, and then he said, I think you should go ask Rav David Feinstein. Rav David Feinstein has the Kabbalah from Rav Moshe, how to deal with these kinds of shaylas. It's fabulous, appreciation of both Rav Shechter and Rav David Feinstein. So Rav Moshe Feinstein here quotes Bani Rav David Shlita, who makes a good point. My dear son, Rav David Feinstein, Omer Shekol HaInyan, the reason why they made those paintings and the reason why they decorate and the reason why they have all those stained glass windows in the church is not just to beautify, it's to inspire. What does inspire mean? Shekol HaInyan nasis lahasis lahadiach b'tikroves b'hiskarvos. They're trying to pull you in. Oh, it's so beautiful. Sure, come. We have an empty seat for you. The purpose of the beauty of the church art is not just to beautify, it's to seduce, it's to proselytize, it's to bring you in and to suck you into what they have to offer. And therefore, even on that level, it's going to be usher to go in, and that will be Ramosha's tshuva about appreciating church art. No. Even though you're not going inside the Beis Avodah Zarah is itself independently Aser. Entering a Beis Avodah Zarah is Aser. Separate and apart from that is a question of also appreciating their art. Thank you for making that point, Tyler. You're making a very good point. I didn't read the whole tshuva. If you read the tshuva, he says it's in two separate things. He says, if you go through the tshuva, he's talking about these are two separate issues. One is an issue to enter a base of Avodah Zarah. That's already Medina de Mishnah. Separate, that's the Mishnah, explicit Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. Separate from that, it's not a Mishnah, but the Gemara talks about such cases, is appreciating their art is a separate iser bifnei atzmo. I think he says somewhere else, Ramosh says, it's a violation of al tifnu el ha'elilim to sort of focus and pay attention and appreciate what they have to offer. Okay. Yes, sir. Excellent question. You're saying once it was commissioned for a church, now it's in a museum. So if it was originally commissioned for a church, that I think would be problematic. However, if it was church art that was sold by an artist for people to put in their home or to decorate their lawn, that people do as decorative reasons. And I saw one of the poskim, he's on the sources somewhere that you'll have, I don't remember who it was, makes the chiluk between decorative stuff that you buy for your house as opposed to stuff that is installed in churches, that if it's for your house, I think it was Malami Lahoil. One second. He makes that chiluk. I don't know. It was one of these. Oh, here you go. I will share with you. It's the Shas Shuvas that say the Harav. I don't remember who that is. If anyone remembers offhand. Here he says the chiluk that I just told you. He says this is all the way on in the sheets that you have on page 13. He makes the following chiluk. He says there's a gemara that says that there's something about Aphrodite. They had some merchats and they had some nice picture of Aphrodite at the merchats. And you're allowed to go into that merchats, I think. Again, I don't remember that. I'm not holding that gemara, but the Selach Harav suggests that there's a distinction between going to something in a church as opposed to a museum, because going to a museum is kedin noy and not in the nature of service. And he says the following suggestion: the distinction would be totally not on what you are intending to do. I don't care whether you're intending to appreciate or you're intending to serve. It's not what you are going to do. It depends on what it was manufactured for, what it was put there for. And therefore, lachen legabi merchatz shebo pesel aphroditi nitan liros bonoi. If there's a merchatz that has this pesel outside of it for beauty purposes, that's going to be permitted. In a museum or a personal house where somebody has some kind of cross or some kind of figurine or some kind of church type art, we're allowed to or to go into a house that has a cross. You could assume that the crosses that are in that place are for beautification purposes, and therefore Muteras haknisa alem. However, in a church, aval haknisa aval bechnesia shekula makom pulchan borsha kol nasel pulchan. If it's a place of worship and it was made for worship, and therefore for us it would be avodah zarah mamish. So again, the question of a museum that took something from a church and now put it in a museum, does that make it better? It was originally made for a church. It was made for inspiration. Now that it's in a museum, I don't know if that helps. If it was originally commissioned for the museum to be an interesting thing that is representative of church art, but it wasn't made for that, so then there's room to maybe be make in a museum for something that was made for non-church art. Bittul is selling sufficient for bittul, or does bittul need a maisa? Yes, if they would take a Sharpie and make a little X, what? I don't know how we paskin. I'm sorry. Don't know. Okay. Correct. 100%. That's correct. Especially I don't remember, somebody was telling me that there's a school building or a hospital building where right above every water fountain was a cross. So as you bent down to the to take a drink, they chapped you. They chapped you to bow down to the cross as you were taking a drink. Okay, let's now go to Islam for a minute. So Rabosai, a lot of you go to school in the Washington Heights. Did you ever walk to the other side of the Heights? There's Fort Trion Park. So in Fort Trion Park is the Cloisters. The Cloisters is a museum of church art. So Shechter holds it is also gummer to go to the Cloisters, even though you're on a date and it's a convenient place. It'll save you a lot of bittul Torah from having to go to some museum somewhere else. And it's rainy, so you can't just walk through Fort Trion Park, even though you want to save your bittul Torah time so that you can get back to Beis Medrash. Going to the Cloisters would be Asur, Shasta is Asur, explicitly a violation of the Pasuk, the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes, I have it, says that Al Tifnu Ha'alila means not to even look at images of Avodah Zarah. Just the Christian artwork is itself Asur. Fine. Okay, now let's switch tracks. Now we're going to switch out of Christianity, we're going to talk about Islam and going into mosques. So is Islam Christianity, Avodah Zarah. So we saw at the very beginning, we saw the Rambam said explicitly that Yishma'elim, the Dasa Yishma'elim, is not Avodah Zarah because they have the same God. They and I, and we believe in the same God, Borei Shamayim V'Aretz. They don't have any additions to it. They hold there is the Lashon of some of the Rishonim is Oso Meshuga, who came in the year whatever and introduced some other stuff, Muhammad, but that would not be Avodah Zarah. That was the Rambam's Shita. And if we take the Rambam for face value, if it's not Avodah Zarah, so their mosque is not a base Avodah Zarah. Right? You hear that? If it's not Avodah Zarah, so it's not a base Avodah Zarah. So the Chorah, it should come out that one would be permitted, according to Shitas HaRambam, to go into a mosque. I said Shitas HaRambam for a reason. Now, there's a run. There's a very important run, and I do want to share you on this run. The run says a very big yesod. The run says a very big yesod in Avodah Zarah. Are you shared on the Mar Makomos sheet now or the other one? Okay. So where is the run? Let me find the run. The run has a chiddush in Avodah Zarah. The run holds, I don't know if I have the run, I just have the run quoted. No, I just have the run quoted. That's too advanced for me. I'm not up to that yet. You're assuming I know how to type the run. Reish Nun. Okay, so the Ran in Sanhedrin writes the following. Here is quoted by the Tzitz Eliezer. The Ran says, it's the Lashon of the Ram. Hamishuga shel hayishma'elim. Aval pish ein tom achrim lasoson elohus. Even though it's not necessarily that they deified Muhammad, they didn't say Muhammad is God, they say Allah is God. And I could say Allah, because Allah is just another language for Hashem. Well, Kim, you know, say we're not, it's the same God. Look at what the Ran says now, Rabosai. Even though it's our God, it's not Avodah Zarah, there's no Shituf, nevertheless, says the Ran, not like the Rambam, Hoil umishtachavim lifneihem hishtachava shel Elohus, din Avodah Zarah yesh lahem, l'chol dvar iser shel Avodah Selilim. He says, since Muhammad is served in some level as a deity, or whatever they do in their service, since they have created their own religion other than Judaism, the Ran is mechadesh that even though it shouldn't be Avodah Zarah, there's no idol involved, there's no shituf involved, but it's an organized religion that they see as a deity, which isn't Judaism, which isn't the way we see it, that is going to be considered Avodah Zarah. That's the Shitas HaRan. That's possible. I don't know. We'll have to ask the Ran. But you know who says something similar to what you said? Rabbi Avadia. Now, let's just take a step back. We started with the Rambam. The Rambam said explicitly that Yishmael is not considered Avodah Zarah. Here we have a Ran who says explicitly that the Islam is to be considered Avodah Zarah. And whatever you have, as the Tzitz Eliezer sort of puts it together very well, even Muhammad will have a din of Avodah Zarah, even though they don't really see him as a god. That's the Shitas HaRan. Even a mosque, and therefore you cannot enter a mosque according to Shitas HaRan. So we have Machlokes, Rambam, and Ran. Comes Rabbi Avadia in the cutest ever comment of Rabbi Avadia. Not that we have to look for cute comments from Rabbi Avadia, but this really wins this really wins it. Did I underline it? Okay, yeah, look at this paragraph. Me'at Nira, so he quotes the Rambam. After quoting the Rambam, of course, Kedarka Bakodesh, Rabbi Avadia probably quoted another 40 other shitas. Shamiskadim Sharavim Elam Din Besavodizar, Mutul Khanis Bah Besochum. After I told you that the Rambam says a mosque is not a base of Odizara, and therefore you're allowed to enter a mosque, what about the Ran? The Ran is a suffix of Avodizar, right? You better be, if there's ever a suffix you want to be machmir for, it's in Avodizar, right? Mafil Haran Shamar. That it's a din of Avodah Zarah. Look at this. Says Rabbi Avadia, again, this is the cutest Rabbi Avadia ever. Yesh loma she'ilu hoyashmile koma shekozav Rambam b'tshuva lo omar lo haya omar kain. And look at the next five words. Avi, you're going to like this. She'bevadei harambam hayaboki bohem yoser. If you have a shayla in how to understand Islam, are you going to go with the Ran, an Ashkenazi Ran? Was he Ashkenazi who lived in France or Spain? Rabbi Sonnenblick, where did the Ran live? Rabbeinu Nissim of Toledano, maybe in Spain, I don't know. But either way, Spain was also Christian, right? Spain was not, we think Sephardi, that's not Islam, it's Christian. However, the Rambam lived in Egypt. He lived among the Ishmaelim. And therefore, if there's a question how to define, a question among our Rishonim, forget about the fact that the Rambam is a bigger posek than the Ran. But if there's a machlokas, how to define Islam like the Rambam, like the Ran, says Rav Avadi, of course I'm going to take the Rambam. He knew it better. That's what Avi said before. The Rambam knew Ishmaelim better. And therefore, Rav Avadia comes out and he quotes some other Achronim, fascinating Shaila that from the more modern times, Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, about after whom our yeshiva was named, who is the poskin. Do you know why our yeshiva is named Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan? I think because Ritz was established in the year, I think, right after Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was Spector. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan's Spector was Nifter, and they wanted to build yeshiva on his name. So I think since it was the same year, right after he passed away, they wanted to build yeshiva in his name. That's why it was named after Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, I believe. So in his tshuvas, he was asked about the following. This must have been a shaila from about 100 years ago. Some Jewish servicemen in one of the European battles, and they wanted a place to daven. They needed a place for minyan. It was Yom Aram, they needed a place for a minyan. And they asked the general, where could we have services? And they just took over some, I don't know what country they were in at that time. And he says, you know what, why don't you go to the mosque? I'll let you use the mosque. So they sent a shot to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, could we use the mosque? And the Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says, we know that the Rambam, and he quotes the Rashi, well, says that Yishmaelim are not of the Avodah Zarah, so it's not a base of Avodah Zarah. So of course, it's Pashut, you could daven there. Pashut. So again, it comes out that the Tzitz Eliezer was machmir like the Ran, that it's usher to walk into a mosque. Rabbi Avadi Yosef goes against the Ran like the Rambam, that it is not Avodah Zarah, because he takes the Rambam over the Ran, and therefore it is permitted, according to the Rabbi Avadi Yosef and the Rambam, to yes, go into a mosque. And that's how we come out, halach lamaisa, machlokas, Tzitz Eliezer, and Rabbi Avadi. Fine. Let us go through a few more points that are sort of tangents. Okay. Yeah, there is an interesting discussion. What about, this actually comes in. Sometimes a church owns buildings. Are you allowed to rent there? Are you allowed to rent the buildings? You know that the largest landowner in New York City is the Catholic Church? Did you know that? I believe that's true. The largest landowner, I don't think it's just because of the churches. I think like some old lady who owns a building or two dies and she doesn't have any children. She just like leaves it to the church. So I think they own a number of apartment buildings. So the Shevet HaLevi actually says you're not allowed to rent those apartments because the money that you're giving is going to church coffers. You're not allowed to make donations to a church or to something where there will be money going to the church. Now, a very important shaila that comes up all the time is voting. Voting in churches and basket weaving classes in churches. A lot of social activities and the senior citizen centers in churches. You know, if you live in a very Jewish area, they might have a senior citizen center for the Jewish people that has kosher food, like we have in Washington Heights, we have by us also, in Young Israel of Wavecrest Bayswater, we have one for senior citizens. But if you don't live in a very heavily Jewish area, there are a lot of activities, social activities, cultural activities that happen in churches. Can you attend? So Moshe Feinstein says that in a sanctuary, there's nothing to talk about. Like my friend who the orthodontist, his convention was in the sanctuary, nothing to talk about. However, if it's in an adjacent room, an annex, a social hall, a basement, and, says Ramosha, it's not that during the time of services, and there's a separate entrance, if you have all those ands put together, it's an annex or a social hall. There's a separate entrance, and it's not during the time of the services, then Ramosha Shtarbach also says, like voting, you're permitted to go there, you're permitted to vote there, and that is permitted. You're permitted to take a class there. You're permitted to go to a senior citizen center there. That would be mutter, and that is a halacha ma'aseh that definitely comes up quite often. We mentioned that you can't pay rent if you're going to be supporting the church. Now, somebody asked me, when I used to be a rabbi in Washington Heights, when I was rabbi in Schenck, one of the young ladies who lived on the Bennett side wanted to go to this basket weaving class in the church on, what was it, on Bennett Avenue, like 190th, there's a church, and 189th, 190th, and Bennett, Bennett Overlook, or Bennett, no, I think on Bennett. And she said that she's paying, you know, $25 per class to go to this basket weaving class, let's say that. But what if, you know, $20 is going to the teacher, but $5 is going for the teacher to pay the rent to the for the space. That's a more complicated question. I don't know how to deal with that right now. So that, you know, if you're paying rent, but part of the money is going to support the church, that's the HDH Laden. Okay. Now, hold on. I want to just finish up because I'm almost done with my time. Now, are you allowed to say the name of JC? I've tried to avoid it most of today, but are you allowed to say that's the name? So the Chavos Yair actually says something fascinating. The Chavos Yair says it's a chiluk. Chavos Yair is somewhere down in the, later on in the Marmot Kobos. He says that Jesus, you're allowed to say. You know why? Because Jesus was his name before he was deified by the Nazrim, or himself, whatever it was. And therefore, he was born, his mother at his bris, they named him Jesus, Yeshua, the Rambam's Lashon is Yeshua. Other versions of Shas have it, Yeshu or Yeshua. So that was his name. Then when he went off the derech, when he was, I don't know how old he was when he went off the derech, and he got his talmidim, his whatever, that's when it became a deified, a Christianized name. So Jesus was just a regular Jewish name. Well, I don't know how Jewish it was. It's certainly not a Jewish name now, but that's what, so therefore you're allowed to say Jesus. However, the second half, the X or the C, that might mean, says the Chavos Yair, something about the Messiah. And therefore, if you say that word, then it's like you're being mekabel him. It's like a Kabbalah of the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Jesus is fine, but to say C, the second name, that could be like a Kabbalah Avodah Zarah, and that would be problematic. That's what the Chavos Yair says. However, as we know, the minug of Yireim and Shleimim was to avoid saying his name. We say Yashka. The minhag of Klal Yisrael, certainly among the Ashkenaz, was say instead of Xmas, I won't say it, is to say Kratzmach. That's always been the minhag of the Yireim and Shleimim among Klal Yisrael, and that's important to keep in mind. I want to finish with actually a beautiful source that Rabbi Schwartz also likes to finish his presentation with a minchas loser, the Munkacher. The Munkacher was asked if you're allowed to look at a clock on top of a church. Right, there's a church bell, and right underneath the church bell is a church clock, and it's in the middle of the city, so it's very convenient. It's not like everybody walked around with their iPhones and their hand watches. So for many generations, this was the easiest, fastest, most convenient time to see what time it is you look up at the city center in the town, you know, right on top of the plaza and the marketplace, and you see what time it is on the church, right below the church bells. So it says the Munkacher, it's mutter. Chas v'shalom to assume that it's mutter because it's not avodah zarah, he says. It's mutter because the reason why they put it there is nothing to do with Avodah Zarah per se. They just want to put it at the highest place in town, so it's the most visible, so it's easiest to tell time. And it happens to be the highest place in town is on the top of the church. But chas v'shalom to assume that it's not Avodah Zarah, that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. And you know where he brings a raya from? He brings a raya from the kinos that we said yesterday. That for so many generations, Klal Yisroel were moser nefesh. I'm not just talking about the questionable, the kina that has a questionable psak that is machlokas haposka, if they were allowed to kill themselves for Avodah Zarah. That's if they allowed a mama shecht their children, that's machlokas haposka, if you're allowed to shecht your children so a child doesn't do Avodah Zarah. That's machlokas haposka. But everyone agrees that if somebody would be taking you to do Avodah Zarah and saying, do Avodah Zarah, serve Christianity, or I'll kill you, for all the generations, all of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers for the past 1,000 years, were moser nefesh in the time of the Crusades, in the time of the Inquisition, throughout all of history, for the past 1,000 years, all of our grandfathers were moser nefesh and willing to die to not, chas v'shalom, become mishtamed to Avodah Zarah, to Christianity. And that, he says, is the greatest raya, that the way we pass and the way the Minhag Yisrael has been for 1,000 years, is to yes assume that Christianity indeed is Avodah Zarah, and therefore we've given up our lives for Avodah Zarah, we've given up our lives to not, chas v'shalom, become mishtamed to Christianity. And that, he says, is the greatest proof that the psak hamikubal for the past 1,000 years, indeed, is like those poskim who assume, not like the Meiri, not even like that reading of the Ramah that perhaps suggests that Christianity might not, well, even if you learn like the Ramah, it's only not Avodah Zarah for them, but for us it is Avodah Zarah. Even if you assume Shittah is not Avodah Zarah for us it is Avodah Zarah. And therefore, clearly, it is Avodah Zarah without a question, the way we poskim, says the Minchas Eluzer. And the only reason why you're allowed to look at the clock is because it's on top of the building. So now I'm going to look at I didn't look at any of the chats. I'm happy to look at them now. If you want to leave now, you're welcome to leave. But I will look at the chats. So somebody asked earlier about going to a chapel that used to be used as a church but doesn't have any more worshiping. So first of all, that question is what people argue about the Sistine Chapel. So I believe that the Sistine Chapel is indeed still used rarely as a chapel. But once in a while it is a chapel. So therefore the Sistine Chapel is not an example of that place that's no longer have any worshiping. If you have a place that has no worshiping whatsoever, I still not sure, because when people walk in, when Christians walk in to admire whether they walk into an old church that's not being used as a church, but when a Christian walks into an old church and he sees the churchyard and a beautiful building, he'll probably, do the mug and dove it on him, and he'll probably say a few words, and I think he'll probably do pray there. So I don't know if that would be a good akud kula. In terms of business with Christians, we have to go, is that according to everything that we're saying, it's avodah zarah, we shouldn't be able to do business with Christians certainly Sunday, nor Shabbos, Friday and Thursday. That doesn't leave too much time to do business. So the answer is that Tosfos and avodah zarah already asked you a question. They gave numerous answers. And among them, so Tosfos asked you a question. Tosfos said that you're allowed to do business with a guy for one of the, whatever the answers that we started with earlier. Are you allowed to say the title of my shir? Am I allowed to say that word? I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to put myself in a bad place. Are you allowed to walk on the same side of the street as a church? So you're not supposed to walk within Dalet Amos of a church. In Washington Heights, when you're walking up the hill from Broadway up to Wadsworth, so there's a church there, you have to walk, even though it's a steep hill and you sometimes want to hold on to the railing, you shouldn't hold on to the railing of the church. You should walk Dalet Amos away on the other side of the sidewalk for a little bit more distant from the church. Could you look at it? You're allowed to look at it. You're not allowed to admire it. You're not allowed to admire the church. You're allowed to look at it just to, because the building that's in front of you, so you could look at it, but nothing more than that. Not to admire it, not to admire the architecture, because the architecture was meant to inspire you to look upwards to get your salvation, or Chas V'Shalom, or something along that side. Okay? So I think that's all. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos Nachamu, and we should all be Zochot to Nacham. We should be Zochot to the time that HaKadosh Baruch should avenge all of the blood that was spilled in the name of other religions, and we should be zocha to time of Geula Shleima when Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad Meherav Yomeinu Amen. Thanks all for joining, and I wish you a great Shabbos. Yes, please. I have no idea, but I am confident that Shiloh has been asked. So if you do your work, I'm sure you'll find the answer. Don't know. But I didn't know that the Queen of England was also the head of the Church of England. I didn't know that. Thank you. Yes. That's a very good Ha'ara. That's a very good Ha'ara.